Well, this was a real treat.
Yeah. So, are we going to do the same show?
Yeah, we're going to do the same show.
Good.
Yeah, but Mr. Adam, we got the people lined up. I'm glad you do. What happened was, folks,
I'll do it. Phil, never, you do it.
Phil what? We had a power outage, is what we had.
One of many that we have at these studios located here at the El Pacifico. The power going out, God, left and right around this joint.
Yeah, Sam, what's going on, man?
Yeah, is it something with the grid?
I don't know. It's an old neighborhood. You know, we live here at the furthest western edge of the United States. We're out here in the El Pacifico coast, up from Southern California, on the very edge, on the very fringes of civilization, and on the very, very fringes of what man has been able to achieve. Beyond us is the wild.
Will you quit screwing around?
Okay, so anyway, basically, the grid's old. And Southern California Edison hasn't gotten their, pardon my language, shit together yet to get things underground here.
Now, this is something that's interesting, because Frank told me, in all of the modern neighborhoods, okay, the modern neighborhoods, you guys?
Yes, Margaret, go ahead.
Yeah, Miss Gray.
I just want to make sure everyone's paying attention.
Right.
In the modern neighborhoods...
The electrical's underground.
You little...
Hey, wait. Well, they did it on purpose. I know that.
Wait a minute. Yes, it's underground.
And in this neighborhood, it's above ground. Now, when are they going, as you say, Phil, when are they going to get their S-H-I-T together?
Well, have you talked to them?
Have I talked to them? What do you want? I could call them up and say, hi, I'm one of many businesses that's affected by these power outages. When do you guys figure that you're going to be moving yourselves off of your dead asses? You know, I mean, I think it has more to do with the county.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, the county board of supervisors, you know.
Yeah.
And what about the county board? Get a load of him, will you?
Well, what about it, bud?
I don't know.
You're right, but what do you mean get a load of him? He's got a better answer than you.
Well, I don't know these... I don't hang around at the county board of supervisors meetings like some gadfly in a sweatshirt with bad teeth.
The county board of supervisors... I guess it's the supervisors have got to kick Edison in the ass and tell... I don't know.
I'll tell you something right now. It's politics, politics, politics. And unless you've got money, and you've got money to spread around in Sacramento, give it up.
Yeah, don't kid about that, Mr. Henry. You got to have a lot of money to spread around up in Sacramento.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess we won't be getting any underground electrical around here anytime soon. However, welcome to the program. So what happened was we had a power outage earlier this evening. To get around to what it is I wanted to say.
All right. We got to give them background.
Phil, there has to be background. If you don't give background, no one knows what you're talking about. If no one knows what you're talking about, why would they even want to give you 2 seconds of their time? This is the problem as I see it now.
Thank you, Margaret. I'll take that under advisement. So we had a power outage here a few hours ago that knocked everything to hell off the air, and we are recommencing. And what we will have for you this evening is Vernon Dozier to talk to us about the... Vernon Dozier is going to be talking to us about the 2-4 start to the slaughterhouse, and what is the cause of that? This is a very good coach, but he's had a lousy start to the season. I wonder if it's got anything to do with the parents.
Well, he's very quick to blame the parents for breathing down his neck.
Well, we'll find out about that. And then we have Bobby and Steve Dooley on Donald Trump's latest rally, the new rally he's going to have this coming Saturday in a place called Elko, Nevada. Now, are you familiar with this?
Where is it?
Elko, Nevada. Bud?
Well, I mean, I was looking at it on a map earlier. There's a million places called Elk. There's Elkington and the guy that wrote the A-Train.
Who?
Duke Elkington.
He's doing it on purpose. Wait.
Come on, Bud. Will you sit down and knock it off?
Come on, man. Well, gotta try to lighten the mood.
What is it with everybody trying to lighten the mood around here? Cornball joke after cornball. Why'd you do that? Well, I want to lighten the mood.
Duke Elkington. Oh, baby.
What about it, man?
Well, a lot of places, man. A lot of places named Elk.
Yeah, I guess he's right. So what about it, man? All right, well, this is going to be in Elkington, Nevada. I mean,
you mean Elko.
Elko, Nevada.
Elko, Nevada. Up in the northern part of the state, right?
Yeah, I'll do it. Elko, Nevada is in the northern part of the state. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, it's in the northern part of the state.
Well, anyway, Bobby and Steve Dooley will be on to talk about their support of President Trump. But I got a couple of questions. Why is it he's always doing these rallies in these very remote places?
The very what?
In these very remote places, or places that are, quite frankly, to be perfectly honest with you, and I don't think I'm talking out of school, these are places that are pretty white.
Well, what's wrong? You know, a lot of people don't think there's anything wrong with that film.
Okay, you know, except there's a whole bunch of people in this country, all with varying challenges, all with varying opinions. Urban people, rural people, people who live on the coasts, people who live in the interior, people, lots of different kinds of Americans. It seems like Trump is just talking to one kind, so we'll find out here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. But first, let's take a look at the traffic with Sky Baby, brought to you by Ogo's Donuts. Sky Baby?
Good morning, out there with the cuckoo, and the dog got the cuckoo. I'm the cuckoo, I'm a dog, not dog, I'm a cuckoo, they said there. The cuckoo, and the cuckoo, dog.
Orgo's Donuts have been here in the Clavin Valley since, well, you were knee-high to a grasshopper. Hi, Dr. Fobb here, and I've been the guiding force behind Orgo's Donuts for lo these many years. Without me, there wouldn't have been Orgo's Donuts. The toppings, the cherries, the cream fills, and of course your favorites, and of course your favorite, the chocolate glaze bomb. Put it in your mouth, the whole thing explodes in delight. You'll show up at work covered in cream, and people won't know what happened. It doesn't matter, you'll be happy. Orgo's Donuts, they come in the 12, 6, 8, 5, and 2 box. We'll give you 2 donuts in its own box. Orgo's Donuts. You can't ever be without them. We won't let you, or I'll know the reason why. Dr. Fobb for Orgo's Donuts. Get them today. I hope you'd
understand. Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and joining us from Belmore Academy and the gym, as a matter of fact, is Vernon Dozier, the head coach. Coach, you're not...
No, I'm not. I'm not at school. I just thought I heard you mention that. I haven't gotten into school yet because I'm staying at home here because Mandy's going to fire up the Humvee.
Are you really going to do that?
Am I really going to? Yes, I am. I told people I would demonstrate what it is to have the Humvee backed over my hand. We're 2-4. I don't feel very good about myself, and I want to, you know, demonstrate to you and to my wife Mandy. She's 31 years younger than me.
Well, why are you always having to prove your virility to her?
Because she's 31 years younger than me. Look at her. You're looking good in those tight pants, baby. She's angry at me because let me tell you, I had an argument with her this morning about why it is I do the summer job at Subway.
Yeah, why do you? Because you're not making enough money.
I don't make enough money to keep her in pork roasts and ribeye. Now, my wife, I love. She loves pork and ribeye. I've got 2 freezers in the garage, always packed to the brim with that. If they ever go one roast low or one steak low, she's catatonic. She sucks her thumb, but she looks good in those pants. What do I care about that?
So that's the argument you had?
Yeah, but she's all walking around here, huh? I got to keep the job at Subway. See, she doesn't want me keeping that job at Subway. I can't afford the pork roast and ribeye.
All right, Coach, leave that argument for another day. We want to talk to you about your football fortunes there at Belmore Academy. You're a legendary high school football coach, and yet you've fallen on some hard times. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, legendary football coach. Yeah, but you have these seasons. We started out 2-4. That's where we are right now. We got a game coming up this week, and hoping that we can turn around. We're not going to turn the season around.
You're not making the playoffs or anything.
No, we're not going to make the playoffs. Right now, we're getting ready to play Valley Hill. It's a road game. Then we're back home for a broken lawn chair on the 26th, and that'll be our season. Right now, I'm hoping we can still finish with a winning record.
Yeah, if you win these next 2, well, you've only got 2 games, huh?
That's right. So we ain't going to finish with a...
No, you're not going to finish with a winning record.
Right. I just did the math on that. So we're 500.
When's the last time you guys finished 500?
Well, it's... God, the way you said that.
Yeah, but, you know, when's the last time you guys finished 500?
Hey, you did. You went 500. I've never quite heard that.
Uh-huh. Well, you've just heard it now. When's the last time you guys finished 500?
Yes, sir. Jesus.
God, Phil.
Well?
Well, I can tell you.
Coach, I could let you just go and do your thing.
No, I'm fine. The last time we finished 500 is about 11 years ago, to be perfectly honest with you. 11 years ago. And it hurt then. It's going to hurt now. I don't know. For some reason, things just don't bother me as much anymore because we've proved our point. We're a good football program. It's, you know.
What do you think was the main drawback to this season?
Well, it's the main drawback. Like I said, when you're in the pros, it's always the agents you're dealing with. When you're in college, it's the alumni you're dealing with. And when you're in high school, you're dealing with the parents. And, again, they're well-meaning, but I can single out a couple of people. I do this every year. I can sing out Jeff Hausendanker, who is the father of Kevin, Tad Barton, He's the father of Austin Barn and Dr. William, I should say, William Peppard, who's the father of Zach. And all three of these guys teamed up to form what I call the Triumvirate of Stupid.
Don't you worry about getting in trouble with these men.
Are you kidding me? Every year I find three or four parents that I single out for the Dumbass Award, and I hang their names up on the wall very proudly. And if they don't like it, like I said, it's a private school. You can take your kid and go wherever you want with him. I don't care. But this is the Triumvirate of Dumb this year.
And you're not blaming the season on them.
I put a lot on them. I sure as hell do. But let me just say this. I have Mandy back to... You're looking good in those pants, baby. I have Mandy...
Yeah, stay with us, will you, Coach?
All right, I'm just complimenting my wife. Honey, see...
What? I don't understand. She is angry at you for what?
She's angry at me because I worked summers at Subway, and she doesn't like it. And we've had this discussion since we got married. I work every summer at Subway, and I used to work summers at Subway just to get extra money for myself. Now I work summers at Subway so that we could afford to keep two freezers in the garage stocked with pork roasts, pork roasts, pork belly, and ribeye steak. And that's for her. And what's your problem? She doesn't like me saying that.
Well, it's...
Which what?
It doesn't sound like the most delicate diet.
It's not a delicate diet, but she keeps her figure beautifully. She's poured into those jeans this morning. She poured into those jeans this morning. I want to give the demonstration now, Phil, before she gets angry at me. This is... Manny's going to fire up the Humvee. Now, honey, I want you to do it real easy, okay? Just back it right over. Back it over. Back it over. Yeah. Yeah. All right, stop. Now, just let it rest on my hand. She's driving away. What the fuck are you doing? We got to do this again, Phil.
Well, what is she doing?
She just drove off down the street. Look at Mandy. She's going to come back. So, what I'm trying to say to you is that I'm having her back over my hand to show how tough I am, and also as punishment for the bad season we're having. I always invite people to watch as Mandy backs the truck over. Here she comes. Yeah. On my hand, honey. Go ahead. Just ease it right on there. God damn, that hurts.
You know something, man. You are nuts.
You can say whatever you want, but look at me. Yeah. I got a truck on my... Where the fuck is she going now? Where are you going? Hey, where are you going?
So what's she doing? She taking off on you, huh?
Hey, this is her getting her kicks. I don't... If this is you getting your kicks, Mandy, man, you get your kicks in some weird ways, and I already knew that, but this is a whole...
This is a young lady that you married fresh out of high school, isn't she?
And what's that supposed to mean?
Why are we going down that road, Margaret?
I'm not saying anything. It's just the generational difference.
What is that? The generational difference meaning what? She doesn't know how to back a truck over my hand?
Look, with all due respect there, Coach Dozier, backing a truck over your hand sounds like the dumbest damn thing I've ever heard in my life.
And here she comes. Come on, ease it right onto my hand. Where the hell are you going? Where are you going? Yeah. What the hell is she doing?
Well, I guess she just wants to drive it onto your hand and then take off.
Yeah, I don't know. She's real oddball. She's been oddball since the day I met her, when she was a senior in my world history class. I'm Coach Vernon Dozier, and you...
And he's not kidding either, folks.
No, he's not. Although he says, and he swears up and down, that he didn't lay a hand on her until she was 18 and they were married. So,
you believe that?
Yeah, I believe him. I do. Because she says that, he says that, her parents believe it. So what are you going to do?
Well, what if her parents are just dumb?
I don't know. What if you're dumb? What if I'm dumb?
I'm dumb?
All right, Margaret.
I take it back.
Taking it back.
But, no, you didn't say it. He did.
All right, but I'm taking it back on his behalf.
All right, well, enough about Coach Dozier, okay? So there he is, Vernon Dozier. Hey. Coming up next is Bobby and Steve Dooley. What was that about, bud?
What?
What did we have Dozier on for?
You're going to talk about the 2-4 season, and then you talk about backing that truck over his hand.
I don't know.
He said that he's demonstrating it publicly.
Oh, that was it. Yeah. Was there anybody there?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, he's supposed to, like he said, he invited people to the house to watch Mandy back a truck over his hand, so...
Oh, man. All right. Coming back here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, we're going to have Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Now, Phil went through, before the power outage, Phil had a beautiful rant about the rotten service that he got from DirecTV and AT&T. You don't want to do that again?
I don't know. You know,
Bob said it was great.
Yeah, it was. What, you don't have the passion for it?
Yeah, you were really on fire when you did it the first time.
Well, I mean, it was. It had to do with something that Vernon was talking to us about.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. Phil got a call from DirecTV 3 days after they failed to deliver the fight. Is it the McGregor fight?
Yeah, then the Habib fight.
Yeah, and you get the call and they ask you, how did everything go?
Well, it all started out with I ordered the fight. And I didn't get the fight, and I couldn't get it on my phone. And as I was talking to the people at DirecTV, one of the guys, he says, that's really funny. So he says, he'll call me back. Well, he never called me back, and we never got the fight. Okay, fine. I didn't take it any further than that. I wasn't going to press, you know, on upstairs to the boss, nothing. I figured I'd just go ahead and get it credited off of my bill when my bill came. No big thing. But then here come the phone calls. One, gee, we understand you had a problem, sir. Was it resolved favorably? No. No, it wasn't.
All right, so that was the first one. And then they what did they do?
Well, they said, oh, wow. Because the reason why they called is because it was like a telemarketing thing. They really wanted to sell me on more of their DirecTV AT&T bullcrap. And just as a courtesy, they asked me how was my service. So when I said it sucked, they said, wow, well, let us get you to where you should be. They wanted to really, you know, solve the problem. They just transferred me over to their tech people.
And here's what gets interesting, because the tech people were not apprised of your problem at all, were they?
No. DirecTV and AT&T call me. I didn't call him. And they say, hey, you got a problem with, yeah, we did. Okay, let us transfer you. And the guy they transferred me to doesn't know anything about it. They didn't pass any notes onto this guy. There was no consultation, nothing. They just dumped me onto him because they can't, you know, I'm worthless to them. They can't make a sale as long as I've got this problem. This guy asked me, what can I do for you? And that's what really pissed me off.
Well, Pat, that would piss me off, too, because if they called you and then you told them what was wrong, you figured the guy would know.
Right. That's what I mean about, don't you people at... Oh, that was the other thing. I was calling them you people.
Oh, that's right. Now, this had no racial component, you're absolutely sure?
Of course it didn't. I'm on the phone. It had to do with you people, the technocrats. You people, the repair people. You people, the people that promise to deliver something, and you people don't deliver. You know,
so you were lumping them all into the ghetto of bad service people.
Not really. I mean, but what happened was one more call. The third call, I get this woman. Yes, sir. I want to find out, sir. You know, and she was really earnest. Okay, but she didn't call me. This is another person that didn't call me to find out anything. They called me to sell me something. They called me to sell me maybe another fight. Maybe they called to sell me some more of a subscription service. I don't know. But as a just a passing gesture, once again, here comes the question. And by the way, we saw that you made a call to us. Was everything satisfactorily, you know, completed? No. This will be the third time I've told them no. And for the third time, they transfer me to the repair person.
Right, they transfer you to the repair person, but you were still talking to this woman, right?
Yeah, I said, well, she was going to I said, what? Don't bother transferring me to a repair person because you guys don't... I said, you people...
Well, that's what pissed her off.
I don't give a damn. I honestly don't give a shit, you know? It had nothing to do... And here's... Let me just tell people. She's about to transfer me. She said, don't do it. Don't transfer me because two other people transferred me. And when I got transferred, the guy asked me, what can I do for you? I said, I didn't call you. You guys called me. What do you mean, what can you do for me? Don't you guys have, once again, I said, don't you have a record?
And they didn't.
No, they did not. So I told her this, and I was using the you people. And I got to tell you something. That's tough shit. If I used you people, because I meant every damn syllable of you people when I was talking to this gaggle of service slash customer service slash tech service slash no can do, don't do their job well, can't, bad system, whatever that you want to call it. These people that I group into, the universal, ever painful, ever burdensome assholes that you talk to on the phone when something's broken. How about that?
Hey.
It's a little harsh, Phil.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she says to me, excuse me, sir, before we go in further, I'm not a you people, I'm a person. I said, that's it. That's it.
So that pissed you off.
Yeah, I just told her. I said, you know, I don't need social decorum lessons from you people calling me up, asking me this, that, and something else.
Well, why hadn't you called them and complained that you didn't get the fight?
I did. When the fight was on Saturday night, I did.
Oh, so you'd already called.
The night the fight was on, I couldn't get it on my phone, man.
But about on TV.
I wasn't at my house, man. And don't tell me that I couldn't get it on my... Because I got the McGregor Mayweather fight on my phone just fine. I watched the whole damn fight on my phone. And that's what I wanted to do this time. Nobody told me that I couldn't. But I'll tell you, there's one difference between the McGregor Mayweather... What the hell is that guy's... I forget what his name is. Mayweather, Mayfeather, whatever. There's one big difference between that fight and this fight. AT&T bought him in between.
Phil, you've got a prejudice against these large corporate takeovers.
You better believe it. Because at one time, AT&T was the gold standard. I mean, not AT&T. DirecTV was a gold standard, man, for satellite television service. Fantastic. I had them for years when I at my other house. And now, forget it, man. They're like a damn utility. Talking to these jackasses. So, you know, that was that. And so I didn't get the phone. That's when I originally talked to them. And that's when the guy gave me the big song and a dance about, well, I get it, sir, because I really like, I want to watch UFC 2. So I tell you what, sir, reboot your phone and I'll call you back.
And you rebooted your phone and he never called you back.
Right.
And you didn't get the fight.
No, I never got the fight. That was the end of that. That was the end of my conversations with DirecTV and AT&T and all of those assholes. Excuse my French. That's the only contact I wanted to have with them. I was just going to, you know, take a look at the bill, see if I got charged for it, which of course I did. And then I would say to them, well, I'm not paying this because I didn't get the fight. And that would be the end of that. So I didn't need any further conversation with these clowns. But because I had called and ordered that fight, I got on some list of people you can call and bother about this, that, and some other bullshit. And that's exactly what happened. Within 2 or 3 days of the fight that I didn't get, I get calls from people, yes, sir, we see that you and this and that, and how about this and that? No, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you. Well, let me transfer you to the appeal. That's really terrible. Let's transfer you. And how can I help you? And that man,
well, why didn't you just hang around and let the guy help you?
Because, dude, I didn't make the call. Do you understand? And what am I going to say that I haven't already said to the original guy? And I don't like this idea of, oh, we really want to help you, getting transferred over to someone who doesn't know who I am, what my problem is, why I'm really even talking to them, because they don't even share. I just got a big, big tip for all of you people at DirecTV and AT&T. Share some notes. I don't know. When you have one customer with a problem, maybe you let the other people know about it. Or maybe you just don't like people, and maybe you hate me for bringing all this up, and maybe. Who knows?
Well, one thing's for sure, Phil, you didn't win any friends over there, did you?
I don't give a shit. What? Are you kidding me?
Damn it, Jerry, you gotta go and maybe the next time McGregor has a fight.
The next time McGregor has a fight? Ha ha! Let me tell you something, man. I'm all done with the McGregor fights, okay? I like UFC. I like watching it, and I think there's some great stars, and they probably got other stars on the horizon. I think Conor McGregor is an absolutely fantastic boon to their business. Great personality, great showman, no question about it. But he, you know what? A bridge too far for that guy.
Well, that Mayweather fight, now, you said the same thing. The guy was never going to be the same.
No, he wasn't. When he lost that fight to Mayweather, that was the end of that, in my opinion.
Well, why do you say that?
Because he had to come back to UFC. He was not a champion in the boxing ring, so now he had to... Anyway, who cares, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right, man.
You don't, huh?
No, we don't really.
Okay, well, I'm glad I really wasted your time.
Are we getting the Dooleys?
Got the Dooley coming up on the phone here momentarily.
Momentarily, huh?
Phil, you've got a commercial to do.
Oh, we'll be right back with more from Bobby and Steve Dooley here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This portion of the Phil Henry Show brought to you by 8 Ball in the Corner Pocket there.
Oh, hi. Melvin Hardaway here. I'm the owner of Melvin's Meat Lockers. You know, business is so great, I can sit around here in the pool hall, playing a few games of stick with my friends, you know, quaffing a beer, having a ball. Melvin's Meat Lockers are doing that kind of business. I don't even have to be there. I don't have to ride herd on anybody. I don't have to supervise. People come in, they put their meat in the locker, and they leave. In fact, I don't really know what a meat locker is. Someone explained to me once that people buy their own meat, then they take it to your locker and stick it in there. And I thought, okay, it doesn't matter to me. I'm over here playing pool. Melvin's Meat Lockers, where the owner isn't on site and doesn't know what he does for a living. I'm Tom Hardaway. I'm Melvin's kid brother. I run the business, and I have been lifting and skimming for years. He'll never find out.
Melvin's Meat Locker. Bring your meat and put it in my locker.
Huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Whose quarter is that?
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Who's Mr. Henry?
Hey, guys, how many times I got to tell you guys? You don't have to go,
get the sounds bitching.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, Bobby and Steve Dooley, to join us here in a second. They're going to be going up to Elko, right?
Yeah, they're traveling to Elko this weekend to be a part of this Donald Trump rally. And Bobby and Steve are at Tens of Beverly Hills, as a matter of fact, having some dinner, a little bit of a late dinner. Bobby and Steve, how are you?
Oh, hi.
Hey, General.
Listen, hey, by the way, is Ted around there?
Oh, we saw him a moment ago, but...
You're going to interview us, though, you know.
That's my understanding.
Yes, I'm going to interview you. I just wondered if he's...
Just wondering if Ted's around, that's all. How are you guys doing? It's Phil.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Phil.
Bobby, President Trump, you've been excited to see him now for a while. When did you find out he was going to be in Elko?
Well, we found it. Steve and I found out because we have connections in Elko. I don't want to say who, you know, because it's we have connections.
Yeah, we've got an inside.
We have the inside track on it. But Elko is a beautiful community in northern Nevada. And what we'll do is we'll fly into Salt Lake City, we'll rent a car, and then drive on into Elko.
Yeah, we'll take it the rest of the way on into town.
Right.
Let me ask you this. I don't quite know.
You want to know why he's playing to nothing but white people, right?
Yeah, that was your...
Okay, I was going to ask a little bit more delicately.
No, you didn't.
I'll do it, Steve. You didn't...
When do I get to talk?
You're supposed to be commentating on what I say. Okay, you're like the commentator.
Yeah.
So we've been listening to you, and you've been talking about, wow, President Trump, all these white people.
Well, isn't it true?
Isn't what true?
Bobby, what Phil is saying is pretty evident. These crowds that Donald Trump attracts are from the towns that he's in West Virginia. He's in northern Minnesota, my God. Now he's in northern Nevada. These are places that are pretty lily white. So, any comment on that?
Well, I don't know. I don't think you should take it racially. I heard Mr. Henry saying that he's calling DirecTV repairmen you people. So, I think everybody is racial.
That's got nothing to do with race.
Well, Mr. Henry, everybody knows.
Everyone knows when you say you people, you mean you're black.
I don't know what color the people are that I'm talking to. I'm talking to them as not a race, but as a profession.
Well, but it's still racist, right?
How can it be racist to be talking about a profession and not the race of the people?
That's very racist.
It's very racist. You know, I'll give an example.
How is that racist?
Let me give an example. My girlfriend didn't want to invite any her gay friends to her wedding because it would anger her parents. Now, that's very racist, and I told her that.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is, Mr. Like, oh, wow. You don't think that's racist?
That's homophobic. That's not racist.
What?
That's homophobia. That is not racism. The sexual gender of a person is not their race. It is their sexual gender or their sexual orientation.
They said a gender.
I know what I said.
She means sexual orientation.
You're talking about their gender.
Right.
You know what I said.
Quit screwing around, you guys. Do you understand exactly what Margaret's saying?
What I'm saying is... When you said you people, Mr. Henry, you know, okay, that it's very highly charged.
Yeah, it's very highly charged.
Hey, guys, I'm not going to
have this discussion much longer. I told you, I used the phrase or the words with complete understanding what they meant in the context. And in that context, I was talking to people who are customer service, repair service. They are the technocrats that so often let us down out there in this world because they're going by the book and everything else. I'm not going to explain it. That's what I meant by you people.
Well, it sounded very racist.
Yeah, when I heard you say it, I thought it was racist.
What if I was talking to white people? What if the people on the other end of the line were white?
What?
That doesn't make any sense if you say you people. Why would you say you people then?
I just got to...
All right, listen, let's get off this kick before... Because Phil looks like he's going to throw this place into the street. So let's just get on to you guys going up to Elko. Now, why is it that Donald Trump, and I voted for President Trump myself, so you're talking to a comrade in arms here. But why is it he's not down in the cities? He's not in the urban centers. He's not talking to more than just rural whites. What's the story there?
Do you want to take this?
I'll take the first part. You take the second part.
Okay.
General, hi, this is Steve Dooley.
Yes, sir.
President Trump, he's going off, talking about you people, he's going off to be with his people. Okay? I get to do it. He's going off to be with his people. Okay? When he gets feeling tense, when he gets feeling alone, when he feels as if the whole world is just ready to just kick his butt, he goes off to be with his people out in the woods. And I think it's normal. It reminds me of Colonel Kurtz. In a pack of lips now, or apocalypse?
Apocalypse, right?
Yeah, apocalypse.
Apocalypse Now?
Yes.
Yeah. And Colonel Kurtz went off to be with his people.
Colonel Kurtz was nuts. That's a pretty good comparison, some people would think. Colonel Kurtz had gone mad. That's why he was off being with his people.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
We're using that as a metaphor. Okay? That Colonel Kurtz, if you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That he went off to be with his people.
Let's talk seriously, because I don't think you guys are quite getting this.
Margaret, we get it, okay? So don't talk to me like I'm third grade.
Hey, Bobby, back off, okay? I mean, the last couple of times we've talked to you, you're ready to jump down everybody's throat.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, we've been nice as pie.
No, you haven't. The time before last, you said...
We weren't on the day before last.
The time before last, you said I hated your guts, and...
Well, yes, you do.
Yeah, you do.
That I haven't taken that back.
If I hate your guts, then why do I have you on my show?
You can make fun of it.
You can make fun of us. Okay.
I don't want to make fun of you. Let me ask you this. I forgot what I was going to ask.
I got the question here. Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, you follow Donald Trump, and that's good. And you're patriotic, and that's good. And you support him, as I do, and that's good. But the question is, and I would ask him this question myself, why are there not... There's this organization called Blacks for Trump. You heard of that?
There's an organ.
Yeah.
There's an organization, Blacks for Trump. Is that right?
Well, a lot of people think that's just a hashtag.
Yeah, it's just a... I mean, yeah, it is. It's an organization, but it's a hashtag.
Yeah. Blacks for Trump, that's an interesting question. I think in the abstract, there are Blacks for Trump. Like that lady, Ooga Booga, I forget what her name was.
Who are you talking about? Are you talking about the lady that worked in the White House?
I think so, yeah.
Well, you don't know her name?
You don't either.
No, I don't.
Why not?
Because it's a weird name.
Yeah, see?
See? That's what we're talking about, see?
Yeah, see?
See what? I'm not the one who can't answer the question why President Trump isn't in front of more representative Americans than just the, quote-unquote, as Phil would say, caucasoids.
Caucasoids? That's nuts.
What a weird word that is. All right, but Bobby and Steve, I won't pin you to the wall on this thing. I mean, you don't have to answer if you don't want to. But here he is in Elko, Nevada, I guess that's a pretty heavy-ass Trump county, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I know that there are areas that went red, but it is Nevada, and Nevada's had Democrat senators, and the reason certainly has been because of their union and everything about the casinos.
Yeah, the casinos are union, and the mafia is union.
Yeah, the mafia is union.
What do you mean the mafia's union?
Well, don't they support the mafia?
They go and they beat people up, right?
Anyway.
Well, you know what? You're not half wrong. That's the way it was at one time.
Yeah, see? And that's why, and that's what they got to get away from in Nevada. That's why President Trump is going to
to the heartbeat of Nevada, which would be Las Vegas. That would be the Union capital. But it, no, he's not going there. He's going to Elko.
Well, I mean, if he goes to he can't go to Las Vegas.
Why not?
Because if he goes
goes to Las Vegas, okay, yes, Mr. Ender, you're right. Technically, there will be blacks and Hispanics and prostitutes and things like that. You can't expect.
What, is he going to run into somebody he knows?
Oh, shut up.
Is he going to run into somebody he knows?
That is really a cold shot, Mr. Oh, in other words, he's going to run into some prostitute?
Yeah, you think he's going to run into a prostitute he knows, huh?
Maybe. Who knows? But the fact is, even in Nevada, where, you know, people could be cheering his ass on there from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're telling me, forget it, huh?
I think President Trump wants to go with his people.
Yeah, he wants to go up with...
Yeah, to be with his people like Colonel Kurtz. Goodbye.
What bug climbed up your ass?
Well, Phil, that was not very in-depth.
I don't give a damn. He's going off to be with his people like Colonel Kurtz. Boy, if there wasn't a better... If there's not a better comparison, or whatever you want to call it...
A better comparison? How about if there's not a better... Example.
Yeah, a better example of who Donald Trump is, in my opinion, it's Colonel Kurtz from Apocalypse Now, or, if you will, The Heart of Darkness.
Hey.
Jesus. That's it for me, man.
Well, this was a long show. It wasn't near as long as a lot of people thought it was, but this is Phil's second run at it.
Yeah. We had a power outage earlier in the... And thank you, Bobby Dooley. Thank you, Steve Dooley. Thank you, Vernon Dozier. And thank you guys for coming back and doing it again with me. Everybody, appreciate it.
Yes, we had a power outage, and so Phil's basically done the show twice.
I think it was better the first time.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, thanks.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for CMBRE Incorporated, all rights reserved, on Podcast One. I'm Margaret Gray. No?
Hey!
All right, man. See you tomorrow. Hey, all you cats and kittens that had your voice messages recorded, all of you year-long BSPs, they went out this past weekend. I think a lot of them went out Monday, so they ought to be in your inbox.